So generally, I would say that if you're really tethered to your state, incorporate in your state. Most state nonprofit laws are pretty straightforward and similar. Some states have a higher touch attorney general presence, my state included, and some states don't. But at the heart of it, if you're in a state and you're working in the state, generally you're going to have to qualify to do business anyway, and you're going to be coming into that state from a regulatory standpoint. If you're national or international, we generally go to Delaware. More people on the West Coast have started going to Nevada. Nevada has been pitching itself as the Delaware of the West Coast for similar reasons, business friendly, et cetera, et cetera. All the reasons for-profits set up in certain jurisdictions because of, you know, a good body of law, business friendly courts, et cetera, et cetera. That's something that people take into consideration when they think about a taxable nonprofit. But if you're really in your state doing economic development, doing education, entrepreneurship, you're going to be in your state. So kind of bite the bullet and be there. So that's one way of looking at it. Then you have traditional taxable corporations, no nonprofit, straight up taxable, and we have limited liability companies. And we'll talk a little bit more about them. The one thing to remember is limited liability companies need members. They're not simply separate. And the way they're structured is, for tax purposes, they're either treated as a partnership among the members, or they're treated as a disregarded entity if it's a single member LLC. So some people think that LLCs sort of float out there, but they don't because of the way they're treated from a tax perspective. We have new types of structures, benefit social purpose corporations, which were put in place to address a fiduciary question. The fiduciary question of, if I'm a for-profit corporation and my duty is to maximize shareholder value, put a pin in that because that's not necessarily right or wrong. But if that's what I think my duty is, how can I go ahead and pursue a social mission? That social mission is not a shareholder. I'm not improving value, and I might be detracting from value. So as a result, a lot of people said, we need a more flexible model that allows us to take into consideration some of these things, and we'll talk about that, how we can have this corporation that can also have a social benefit purpose. L3Cs were a structure put in place. I think it was Vermont was the first one. The goal was to try to make it easier for people to do private PRIs, program-related investments, and they were mimicking the L3C structure mimics the PRI requirements. The only problem is that the feds didn't recognize them. So the idea was, if we create this structure and if you invest in it, you would automatically be treated as a PRI. But for that to happen, you needed the IRS to say that or Congress to say that, and it never happened. So there's a disconnect between this thing that purports to do something, and it can't do it without the kind of the blessing of the sort of the tax code.
Although one of the things that the L3C does, and we'll talk about the differences and the details here, one of the things the L3C does that the benefit corporation, social purpose corporation, do not, the L3C is clear about its purposes, its priorities, and the ordering and weighting of those. When an L3C, its purposes must be to significantly further charitable purposes, not social good broadly, but charitable purposes, and no significant purpose can be owner value, a la the PRI requirements. The benefit corporation, social purpose corporation, and Tomer used the word flexibility, they introduced the notion of flexibility in decision making, in priorities, and in weighting. So that's one of the key differences. And you know, the motivations about the L3C aside, there's still this clarity that exists around the purposes that makes it a potentially useful structure in very narrow circumstances.
And building off of that, that's statutory, because I think, I don't know, 17, I don't know how many states have L3C statutes, but the LLC is the most flexible model we have from a governance standpoint and from a tax standpoint. And so you can do what John was talking about to varying degrees in a regular LLC. But this has, to John's point, though, the clarity of the statutory requirement is what, and I'm not a big fan of L3Cs, so I should just be upfront about it, and John is a better fan of L3Cs than I am, because I look at it from the federal purposes. But John's exactly right, that when you want clarity in corporate, this has a way that's, again, if you're thinking about all these things along an impact continuum, they're degrees, right, and you choose what works best.
Right.
And now those are our structures, but then let's mush them together, right? So we can have joint ventures. Joint ventures are these things acting together for a project, for a purpose. There are collaborations like that. And then there are public-private partnerships, which are very interesting. And then lastly, we have hybrid structures, where it's not coming together for just a project or a purpose. It actually is built into the organizational structure of the family of organizations, where you do have these things that are closely related, not just to do a project or a thing, that they're operating in tandem. And that's where kind of the pressure points are the most acute. Because suddenly we're taking the for-profit, the nonprofit, we're operating them for a common goal or a common purpose, and we have to figure out how to maintain the things John was talking about, our fidelity to the rules, the things we care about when we're thinking about charitability, private benefit, all the things that are restrictions around the 501c3 or C4, we have to maintain them in a structure that is designed to act in tandem. And often they're called hybrid structures. And it's weird because a hybrid is a bit of both, right? And it's sort of, but they're separate. And we're making the bit of both through our interactions with them. And that's the thing that is fascinating to a lot of us and exciting for people out there, because it's like cake, eat it, and more cake, right? Because we can do everything. And we'll talk a little bit about how we get structured. And then just going to run through quickly so that we can get to more of the conversation. And if you have questions, feel free to ask, but don't hesitate.